Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the service today. It's another one of our special Zoom services. I know that the Methodists actually had a practice meeting in church this morning, and they've got another one at 11:30. I know Trevor went to that, so we will be remembering those in our service who are joining together to see what it's like to go back to church physically in these times. But we have a service this morning here as usual, and Paul is going to be bringing us the message. But we're going to begin by singing a song, Be Thou My Vision.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Lord, be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night.
Let us pray. O Lord God, in the meeting of our lives, be the focus of all that we are, in the singing of the hymns, the prayers that we shall make, the reading of your word, and the preaching of the same. Speak to us, encourage and forgive us. In the meeting of our lives, Lord, be the focus of all that we are. Amen. Amen. Graham is now going to read for us.
Reading from Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 to 33, and then 44 to 52. Parables of the mustard seed and of the yeast. Here is another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and the birds come and make nests in its branches. Jesus also used this illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put in only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated through every part of the dough. Parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. Parable of the fishing net. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net that was thrown into the water and caught every kind of fish. When the net was full, they dragged it up onto the shore, sat down, and sorted the good fish into crates, but threw the bad ones away. That is the way it will be at the end of the world. The angels will come and separate the wicked people from the righteous, throwing the wicked into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do you understand these things? Yes, they said, we do. Then he added, every teacher of religious law who becomes a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like a homeowner who brings from his storeroom new gems of truth as well as the old.
Thank you, Graham. Paul is now going to bring us some thoughts.
Okay. Can we have the next slide, Adrian? Thank you. Just to follow on really from what Graham was said, the reading today, there's 5 different parables that Jesus spoke here. And they're probably parables that are probably the least known because they're very, very short, sort of almost like kind of vignettes, I think. I remember when I was at school and we used to do a scripture, and for our O-level, we often used to have a question which used to say, pick the 2 least known parables and explain what they are. And a lot of people decided, instead of picking the most least known, they picked the most well-known, actually, and use those instead. But I think these are probably the ones that we don't sort of think very much about. And they're the parables about the kingdom of heaven, and Jesus is trying to describe what the kingdom of heaven is like. We forget sometimes that we're actually part of the kingdom of heaven now, here on earth. And he told 2 parables, one about a mustard seed and one about yeast, both of which are very, very small, but bow into something very large. It just reminds us, really, that even though sometimes our faith can feel a bit weak and insignificant, we can achieve quite a lot through God's grace. The next 2 parables are both about treasure of one sort or another. One about some treasure that a man found hidden in a field, and another parable about a treasure that a merchant went out and looked for, and he found it and he sold everything. And both of these parables remind us how valuable our faith is. You know, so very often we take our faith for granted, don't we? And we don't perhaps think of what God has given us. And I think it just challenges us really to think about the worth and the value and the joy that our faith should give us. Now, the fifth parable is quite different from the other ones, and it's about a fishing net. And we'll be looking at this in a bit later in our service this morning. So I won't say anything about that for the time being. But again, it's another parable about the kingdom of heaven. We're going to continue now to worship as we sing along with Bless the Lord, O My Soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. So bless the Lord, O my soul, His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. Bless You, time has come. Still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul,
worship your holy name. Lord, I worship your holy name. Sing like never.
Okay, can you all hear me? It's nice to see you all. Okay, we're going to look today at the parable of the net, and like the other parables that we read about this morning, this is a parable about the kingdom of heaven, and it's a description really of the kingdom as it is both now, the church here on earth, and it's also a picture of the church in the future as well, and a picture really of things that are to come as well, and I think that what marks it out as different from the other four parables that we read about this morning. And I think the picture is of casting a fishing net out into the water, and in the fishing net gathered a whole bunch of fish. And Jesus is saying here that the fish are a real mixed bunch of both good fish and bad fish. But there will come a time when the fish will be sorted out, when the good fish will be gathered up and placed into a basket and kept safe, and the bad fish are going to be thrown away and to be burnt up. So I just want us to picture for a moment this image of a net, a fishing net full of fish. And it's a picture of the church. And the church's actual fact, Jesus is saying here, is a mixture of people who are believers and unbelievers. And when we look around the world today, we can see that there are people that believe in Jesus and there are people that don't. And to be honest, you know, it's hard, isn't it, sometimes to tell apart those who do believe and those who don't. I want to tell you a little story, actually, about when Sandra, my wife, and I were first married. Sandra decided she was going to cook a trout for us for dinner one day. And a friend, her cousin, had caught this trout, and we'd put it in the freezer, and we decided to defrost it and to bring it out that day. And she cooked up this trout and put it on the table. And as she placed the trout on the table, the eyes rolled out of the trout, and Sandra said, "Oh, I'm definitely not going to eat that trout." And so she decided she'd go and cook us some sausages instead. But so I ate the trout. Now, unfortunately for me, I woke up in the middle of the night with a terrific stomach ache, and I was violently sick.
No, you weren't. I was.
And I did, because we found out the trout hadn't actually fully been defrosted, actually. So I got a touch of a food poisoning from this trout. Now, of course, when you look at a trout, when you look at a lot of things on the surface, they look okay, don't they? And you know, Jesus is saying here that things aren't always what they seem, you know, and it's quite hard sometimes to try and to work out the good things from the bad things. You know, in the Bible, when we're talking about evil and about Satan. He's often referred to as the deceiver, isn't he? The liar, the one who says good things, but actually means totally the opposite. And many times the Bible warns us to be on our guard for those evil things. And Jesus said, but in spite of that, even though we live in a world where, you know, good and bad, evil and truth are all mixed up together, one day Jesus will come back and things will be set right. The good will be separated and the evil that we're living in at the moment will be no more. And he describes the things that are going to happen to the bad fish, that they're going to be thrown away and cast, it says, into the fiery furnace, into this big oven, this big bonfire, or whatever it happens to be. And it's a picture here that Jesus is painting of hell, as we call it sometimes. And I think as Christians, we must never underestimate that hell is a reality. You know, a lot of Christians I've spoken to don't believe in hell. They think, you know, it's all going to be kind of all right in the end and nothing much bad is going to happen, that those who don't believe. But, you know, you look at the teaching of Jesus and he talks as much about heaven as he does about hell as he does about heaven. So we need to think seriously about some of these things. So I think the question for us today is, you know, are we like the good fish? You know, are we being prepared by Jesus for our place in heaven? So let's just think for a moment about what good fish are all about. The next slide, sir, I think. Right, thank you. So a couple of things to think about. Firstly, how firm is our faith? I don't know about you, I'm feeling very much under attack at the moment. And, you know, the world isn't a good place to live in, is it? You know, when we look at the things that are happening, both in this country, in our own town and farther afield, there are things going on in our world that, you know, are quite frightening. And we just really don't know quite what the future holds for us. And I think the church particularly is coming under great pressure at the moment. But we need to think, you know, are we hanging on in there? Where is God? Where is Jesus in all of these things that are going on at the moment? Jesus promised us, didn't he, as he does in that parable, that he's going to come back and he's going to make everything all right again. Now, are we ready for that time when Jesus comes back? And I must admit, personally, I think it's not very far away. You know, the things that we're seeing at the moment, I think, are indications of signs that Jesus' return is quite imminent. But I just really want to encourage you this morning that, you know, God wants us to keep together, doesn't he? He wants us to put our trust in Jesus, however desperate, however difficult our situation seems to be, however hopeless that the world that we live in seems to look like, Jesus is there and he wants us to keep together. It's a time, I think, when we really need to get our Bibles out more and to look what Jesus is saying to us during these times. Times when we need to pray together, meet together, to put our hope and our trust in God. I must admit, in my Bible readings recently, and on Wednesday at the prayer meeting, the verse that Adrian read out, there's a lot of messages, I think, coming out from God at the moment about the need to trust in him and to wait on him. You know, we need to wait upon the Lord. We need to trust that God has everything in his hands and will see us through these difficult times. I just want to finish just by reading these few verses towards the end of Romans chapter 8. And in a few moments, Barbara's going to lead us in our prayers. And he's also going to read to us some more verses from Romans chapter 8. And these are just the closing verses of that chapter. So I just thought it would be just a thing, I think, just to encourage us, really, that God is with us. And Paul says this. He says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Amen. Some great words there, I think, for us to hang on to in these times in which we live. As I said, Barbara's going to bring us a reading in a few moments, and then going to lead us in our prayers. As you know, Barbara is, we've been talking to Barbara about becoming a minister, and early days yet, but it's nice to see Barbara and to Bill among us this morning, and we've asked Barbara to, as I say, to take part in our service. Before we do that, though, we're going to listen to another song, Jesus, All for Jesus.
Thank you. There's some words from Romans chapter 8. Paul's been talking here to the Romans about the Spirit's presence in creation and the Spirit's presence in the believers, and he goes on to say this. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus also died. More than that, he was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Follow that. I am often overwhelmed when I look at the world and when I look at the lives of people around me as to know how to pray. And I'm so grateful for Paul for bringing these verses, that we don't need to worry about how to pray. The Spirit reads and knows our hearts and intercedes for us. So I use some simple tools sometimes when I get overwhelmed. And one of them is my hand. I hope you've got a hand somewhere in front of you that you can use to help you to pray as we come to our intercessions. I'm just going to lead us through our intercessions using our hands. So just have your hand in front of you and look at your thumb. And as you look at your thumb, pray for your friends and family. You know what their needs are at this time. You know those who are struggling, those who don't know Jesus, maybe, who you want to pray for today. Those who are finding this current season really difficult. Just in a moment of silence, hold them before God this morning. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And then look at your index finger and think about those who guide us and those who teach us, those who are pastors, those who are bringers of the word. Pray for Paul this morning and give thanks for the word that he's brought. Pray for those who teach in our schools and our colleges as they take some rest over the summer. Just lift before God those people who have been guides and teachers in your life who still perform that function for you. Lord God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And then look at your middle finger and pray for those in authority, those who are world leaders. We pray for Boris Johnson and those in government, those who are local leaders, those who lead councils, but also those who are leaders within our churches. Pray for Paul and the deacons at Kingsthorpe. Pray for those who are leaders in Kingsthorpe Methodist Church. Just name them and lift them before God this morning. Lord God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And then look at what's known as our ring finger. It's the weakest finger. So pray for those who are feeling weak today, those who are in need, those who are, maybe we know, who are recovering from coronavirus, those who have lost loved ones in this pandemic, those who are weak or sick in other ways, those who are anxious about the future, those who've lost jobs and who are anxious about their businesses. Just pray for those who we know who really need that touch of God's love and grace in their lives. Lord God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And then finally, our little fingers. Use this to pray for yourself. You know where you are with God this morning. You know where God has spoken to you as we've worshipped together. You know the challenges you'll be facing tomorrow and in the days of this week. Just lift yourself into the presence of God this morning and ask him to provide what you need from him this day and in the days that lie ahead. Lord God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And so we join all our prayers together in the words of the prayer that Jesus taught those who came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We now sing our final song, I Want to Serve the Purpose of God.
Serve the purpose of God in my generation. I want to serve the purpose of God while I am alive. I want to give my life for something that'll last forever. Oh, I delight to do your will. Let me know your will. to see the kingdom of God while I am alive. I want to give my life for something that will last forever. While I am alive, I wanna give my life for something that'll last forever. Oh, I'd alive to do your will. What is on your heart? Show me what to do. Let me know your will and I will follow you.
As we close in prayer, please unmute yourselves so that we can say the grace together. May God's word be in your heart. May God's word be on your lips. May God's word be in your touch. May God's word direct your feet. On this day and all your days to come, may God's word be the life you live. Now, let us say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
the love of God,
and the
fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Barbara, for our service today. I have one announcement, which is that next Sunday we will once again be having a Zoom service, and as has become usual on the first Sunday of the month, it will include communion. So when you join our service next Sunday morning, please come with bread and wine so that at the conclusion we will be able to share communion together. Does anybody else have any notices that they wish to bring to us all today?
I can see just the wife down there.
Is that the baby Wycliffe we can picture down there?
Yes.
Lovely.
Oh, wow. Hello. Oh, my word. Good morning.
Good morning,
oh, lovely. She's gone. Oh, beautiful. Bless him.
Yeah.
I must need to do.
Oh, wow. Big smiles all round. Lovely. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, Daniel as well.
Hi, Daniel. Thank you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers.
Yeah.
Okay. So, as we close, let us close in fellowship together. Thank you very much, everybody, for joining us.
Thank you.
Bye.
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 Have a good
day.
Yeah, see you soon.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, Daniel.
Bye. Bye, Daniel. Bye. Bye. Bye-bye. Bye.